Have your Bible this morning, if you will, the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. While you're finding your place, let me just update you real quickly on Melissa Reagan. Melissa should be home. She is. She did get home today? Okay. I know when I was there yesterday, she had her junk packed in a chair, and they was letting her out or she was getting out. I'm not sure how, but she was coming home yesterday. I figured that out. And so she was looking like she felt a lot better. Russell, I don't know how many of you knew Russell did have to go back to the hospital. He got dehydrated, and so they took him. He should be coming home. He may be home now. But they did talk to Barbara and Russell about going ahead and calling hospice. So if you will remember their family as they make decisions in going forward, that's kind of an update on those two. And the bionic woman is having $6 million surgery done in the morning. And so she will be up and running again, maybe. But that's the plan anyway. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Got an email this week. I get one. It's a Church of Christ pastor down in Fayetteville. I don't know him at all. I've never seen him. I wouldn't know if he walked in the front door. I don't even know how I got on his mailing list. But a couple times a week, he sends out a little devotional. And he sent one out this week that got me to thinking and led to where to this message this morning. But it opened with a story, an illustration of tech support. Any of you ever had to call tech support for anything? Lovely, isn't it? This is tech support for Etch-A-Sketch. Now, I'm going to tell you, anybody who don't know what an Etch-A-Sketch is? Because depending on how old you are, you may not, because they're not quite high-tech enough. So, Etch-A-Sketch. You remember the little red thing, you turn the knobs, okay? Some of you, you're too old, and it's like the modern version of chiseling with a rock and chisel. So, somewhere, it's between the rock and chisel and Game Boys, I guess. And so, but the Etch-A-Sketch. And tech support, this is a script for tech support from the Etch-A-Sketch company. If you call in and somebody calls in and says, my Etch-A-Sketch has a distorted display. What do I do? Pick it up and shake it. Thank you. Goodbye. Yeah, that's tech support. My Etch-A-Sketch has funny little lines all over the screen. What do I do? Pick it up and shake it. How do I turn my Etch-A-Sketch off? Pick it up and shake it. Set it down. My Etch-A-Sketch has lines that prevent me from doing my artwork. Pick it up and shake it. Y'all getting the hang of it. Y'all could have that job, right? How do I delete a document on my Etch-A-Sketch? Y'all are learning. Pick it up and shake it. How do I keep from losing a document on my Etch-A-Sketch? Stop shaking it. Exactly. Yeah. And that's tech support for Etch-A-Sketch. Wouldn't it be awesome if life was kind of that simple? Pick it up and shake it. Move on. I can tell you, like most of you here, it would be really good to be able to take parts of your life, pick it up and shake it and draw it over. That would be really, really good. Unfortunately, for most of us, life is way more like that chiseling it in stone. It is set, it is done, and there's no do-overs. But wouldn't it be great if life really was that simple? Just, when things go wrong, pick it up, shake it, and try again. Pick it up, shake it, try again. Stop shaking it. That's one of those two answers would pretty well solve your problem with an Etch-A-Sketch. Well, as I thought about that, and I read over this devotional and looked at the fellow's comments and thought about, really, in a lot of ways, life is that easy. We just fail to follow directions. I don't know about you. I don't have an artistic bone in my body. Have you ever seen some of these drawings some people take with Etch-A-Sketch? They just draw marvelous pictures on Etch-A-Sketch. And I often wondered about that. Why do that when you're just going to lose it? But they draw that. to drill a hole and drain all the powder out so they can't, so the picture is good, forever. Most of us, we don't have that kind of, ability, but, we generally don't, follow directions. I can't tell you over the years, and I have no idea how many miles of lines, I have drawn on an Etch-a-Sketch, but like everybody here, if you were honest, you're gonna laugh at me, but if you were honest, at some point in time, you wanted to turn the dial that went up, and you turned the dial that went left. You know, just, you know, and you messed up all your drawing. But really, life is a lot like that. It can be pretty simple, but we tend to turn the wrong dials. We tend to go the wrong way. So what do we do? As I thought about that, there's a passage in 1 Peter that I think if we would kind of let sink into our hearts, sink into our minds, would simplify most of the things in life. They would make most of our decisions, if not all of our decisions, much simpler. They would. This passage would clean up our relationships. This passage would would solve our problems in our nation. This problem would save, solve problems between children and parents. This problem would solve wars between neighbors. This passage has the potential, if we simply obey it, to solve most of our problems. But I want to kind of back up and get a running start at this because I want to look at the last few verses here in this passage today. But I want to back up and look at what Peter has been like. What he said leading up to these last few verses. Beginning in the beginning of the second chapter, we actually could go back into the first chapter, but honestly, the second chapter is going to be, Peter, you ever heard the phrase, you bit off more than you could chew? Well, Peter bit off more than we can chew. Peter gives us some things here in the second chapter that seem quite overwhelming. Look what he says in the first verse. He says, to lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies and all evil speaking. Now, let me ask you, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, because I just want to see if any of you tell a story. How many of you here would be honest or would say, you know what, I believe I've got that verse down. I have laid aside all malice or all bad thinking. I've laid aside all guilt or guile or anger. I've got rid of all my hypocrisy, all my evil, my envy and all my evil speaking. I've got the first verse covered. That's you learned. He raised his hand at the first service. No, he didn't. Nobody's lived up to that one. Well, you keep going. I'm just going to hit some of the high spots down through here as you look at this verse. Let's jump down in that passage, and there's some other things there. Look at verse 11. He says, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from all fleshly lust which war against the soul. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand more, but let's think about that for a minute. Peter says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get rid of all guile, all envy, all evil speakings. And when you get that handled, he says, then I want you to get rid of all fleshly lust. Now, when he says fleshly lust, he's not just talking about lusting after a sexual lust. He's talking about any fleshly lust, things that are wrong, things that are bad for you physically. He says, you know, I want you to get rid of all of them. Yeah, I want you to lay aside all those. Anybody got that verse handled yet? I got my work cut out for me this morning, don't I? Yeah, y'all just admitting right up front. Well, let's keep going. Look what he says down here. He says in verse 13, he says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or the governors or them that are sent by the punishment of evildoers for the praise of them that do well. For it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Peter says, okay, put aside all guile, all envy, all evil speaking. He says, I want you, if you back up, I want you to desire the word of God. I want you to submit yourself to every ordinance of man. Now, let's ask ourselves that question. Yeah, here we are. He says, okay, this is what I'm expecting of you. You already heard the first of it. Now he says, not only do you have to submit to all the things that God wants you to do, all the things of the Word of God, but submit to every ordinance of man. Do I need to ask you if you've been speeding? Or did you pay all your taxes? Or no parking zones? Or you're just going to be in a minute, so I'll park right here in this handicapped spot? Or do I need to go home? Peter said, I want you to do all those things too. I don't know about you, but my personal opinion is Peter needs to mind his business. He's went from preaching to meddling. Yeah. He's kind of got up in the middle of our business, hasn't he? He goes on. Look what he says down. Verse 17. Verse 17 is enough to keep us busy for the rest of our life. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Think about that for a minute. That one verse would trip. Think about that. Honor all men. Now, let's be honest. I happen to be the one with the microphone this week. It's a little stretched out from where Jason had it last week. I'm going to have to have the microphone took up. Jason stretched it. Yeah. But let's think about that for a minute. Honor all men. I'll be honest with you. I've met some folks in my lifetime that wasn't all that honorable. How about you? You ever had anybody come in the store that shop down there, Martin, that wasn't all that honorable? You ever had anybody you had to build a building for them or something that wasn't all that honorable? Yeah. There's some folks out there, and let's be honest, some of them we're kin to. Yeah. Honor all men. You might want to raise their hand and say, I always do that. At least y'all being honest this morning. At least you're being honest. Honor all men. Look what he goes on. If honor all men isn't bad enough, then he says, love the brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? He says, not only honor all men, honor them, but love everybody in the church. Love all Christians. I gotta be honest with you. I know some Christians I'm not all that cracked up about. Y'all can preach next week. I'm just being honest to you this morning. Yeah. He says, love the brotherhood. Go on. Fear God. Now, most says, finally, when I'm almost goodbye to that one. He's not talking about living in just terror of God. He's talking about living by the principles of the Word of God. Do what God says. I'm like, oh, no, maybe I'm not doing so good at that one. Yeah. Fear God. Then he says, honor the king. Now, we don't have a king, but what's he talking about? Honor those in charge. Honor the officials. Listen, think about those four things in that verse. Verse 17 alone would probably keep most of us busy for the rest of our life. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now, I don't know which day trips you up the worst. That honor the king one can be kind of tough. Yeah, we look around, that can be kind of hard. I know we don't have a king, but you know what he's talking about. Yeah, honor those elected, those in authority over us. Yeah, love the brotherhood, honor all men. I will almost guarantee you, if you go out of the house today, you're going to run into somebody that you struggle honoring. Might be your neighbor. Yeah. But that verse alone gives us a lot of struggle. Yeah, look at that. Then he goes on, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters. What's he talking about? He says, you can't even get off the hook when you go to work. When you go to work, be obedient, serve, be honorable to your employer. That's what he's talking about. Now, I don't know about you, but again, I got to tell you, Peter put too much stuff in that one chapter. Yeah, that's too much. Yeah, that's too much for me to keep up with. I've lost track of all the rules, and I've lost count of all the times I violated and failed and come short in the things that Peter has listed there. But then he gets down there and he says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it really simple for you. Pick it up and shake it. I'm going to make it, pick it up and shake it simple for you, because he says in verse 21, when he gets down there, he says this. He says, for hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Peter says, okay, I know I've unloaded the truck on you. And honor the king and fear God and love your brother and all that other stuff. Be a good employee and all those. I know I've dumped a lot on you, so let me just boil it down. Let me make it, pick it up and shake it simple. Christ gave you an example. Follow in his steps. Forgive, listen, here's what, and I don't want to put too many words in his mouth, but here's basically what Peter says. He says, forget about all those other things I've told you, because you'll forget them. You won't remember them. You won't be able to keep up with them. But here's a hill to boil it down in one simple statement. Christ gave you an example. Follow in His steps. When it comes to dealing with your employer, act like Jesus. When it comes to dealing with your children, when it comes to dealing with your spouse, when it comes to dealing with the government, when it comes to managing your money, when it comes to talking to your neighbor, when it comes to dealing with strangers, when it comes to dealing with the girl at the cashier's, the grocery store, who is mean and hateful and tries to shortchange you, be like Jesus. Amen. Thank you. I was beginning to think you'd already went to sleep on me. He says it's really, he says it's pick it up and shake it simple. Whatever you do, be like Jesus. And here's what he says. And listen to what he says before that. He says something very important leading up to that statement. He says, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Follow in His steps. One of my favorite shows, most of you know this, I've talked about it before, one of my favorite shows of all time was the show MASH. And just in case any of you ever, you didn't see it or you don't know what I'm talking about, MASH was a show about an army medical hospital in Korea. And one of the characters was a man by the name of Father Mulcahy, a Catholic priest. And one of the episodes, he goes in and he's talking to one of the casualties, one of the young men there in the hospital, and the young man is telling him about how horrible it is up front, that he doesn't want to go back up front. He's talking about how the atrocities and everything that he saw on the battlefront. And Father Mulcahy says to him, says, "I'm sure that it's terrible." And the young man says, wait a minute. What do you mean you're sure it's terrible? Are you telling me you've never been up there? And he says, "No, they won't allow me to go up there." He says, "Then go away. I don't have anything to say to you. You don't have any right to talk to me about this because you've never been where I've been." Before Peter says, follow his example, walk in his steps, he says, because he suffered for you, follow his example, walk in his steps. Jesus has every right to say to you and I today, be like me. He has every right to lay claim. The Bible tells us that we were bought with a price, that He suffered and died to pay for your sins. And so He has every right to lay claim on us and say, you know what? I want you to be like me. I want you to follow in my example. What exactly does that mean? Peter gives us, I think, three things, very broadly speaking, that I think are critical and crucial for the Christian to understand what it means to be like Christ. Now, I understand we could go into the Gospels and we could spend months, if not years, studying the life and the ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and how he dealt with circumstances and situations, and say, okay, this is how to deal with it. But I think there are three broad categories that Peter talks about that pretty well sums up. I want you to notice something first about the structure of how Peter lays this out. If you notice at the end of verse 21, there's a colon there at the end of that. He says, here it is, I'm going to kind of lay it out like a legal contract. He says that you should follow in his steps. And then the next three verses all begin with the word who. You know, it reminds me kind of one of these things you wrote on my mind, a proclamation, something like that, a resolution, wherefore, you know, blah, 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 wherefore. Well, Peter says, because Jesus suffered for you, he gave us an example, following his steps. Who? And he begins to lay out his steps. What does he say about the steps of Christ? First thing that he talks about here are the decisions that Christ makes. Very broad statement. Look what it says. He says, "For hereunto you are called." He says, "Because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth." Look what that verse says. Now, here's the problem that I see comparing where we are, generally speaking, to this particular passage of Scripture. Peter says, here's what the example was. Here's what Jesus laid out, who did no sin. Not some, not less than his neighbor, but no sin. In every situation, he did what was right. Let's be just painfully honest with one another this morning. Here's the way most of us measure our life. We look around and we find somebody to compare ourselves to. And the person we find to compare ourselves to, generally speaking, is someone who we don't think is living as godly a life as we are. And so we are content to make it through our life going, well, I'm not as bad as Archie. I don't do this and I don't do that like Tommy does. And so at least I'm ahead of him. I'm not as bad as they are. And so I'm at least, I may not be in first place, but I'm not in last place. I'm not bringing up the rear. I'm at least making progress. We're even satisfied by comparing ourselves to ourselves. Well, I did better today than I did yesterday. I can't remember how it's worded. Have you ever seen that little sign that says, so far it's been a good day? I haven't bit anybody's head off. I haven't slapped anybody. But I'm about to get out of bed, so Lord help me. That's kind of the way most of us are. Well, I did better than I did yesterday. I only told 3 lies today. Yesterday I told 5, so I'm 2 ahead. And that's kind of the way we measure. I'm not as bad as he is or she is. I'm not even, that little song, I think about that song, the Lord's still working on me. We pacify ourselves sometimes with that mindset. When Peter said, don't compare yourself to me. Don't compare yourself to Paul. Don't compare yourself to your neighbor. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. He says, here's the standard. Be like Christ. Be like Christ. I'm reminded of the story. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard this. The policeman that pulled the guy over, and he got out, and he says, you rolled through that stop sign. He said, well, I slowed down. It's not good enough. And the policeman just all of a sudden grabbed him up, slapped the handcuffs on him, handcuffed him to the bell handle of his car, and pulled out his billy stick, and just went to wailing on him, just beating the daylights out of him. He says, now, do you want me to stop, or do you want me to slow down? Listen, God didn't call on us to slow down. God didn't ask us to be better than Tommy. God didn't ask us to not be as bad as Archie. God didn't even say, and that's a great goal, to be better than you were yesterday. You won't find that in Scripture. What he says is, follow in the steps of Jesus. Follow in the steps of Jesus. We had a small tragedy at our house this week. We lost the drip pan to the grill. And Rhonda is on a Sherlock Holmes-like mission to find that drip pan. And she pulls one out from something else and says to me and the kids, have y'all seen the drip pan? It's just like this, except it's about this big and it's this and this. And I don't remember who said, well, then it's not exactly like this. She pulls it out and says, it's exactly like this, except. And then she went on to tell us. And last night, lo and behold, Sherlock found it. I think yesterday, she pulled it out, and lo and behold, she's right. It is nothing like that. It's black. That's the only thing. It's black and plastic. That's the only 2 things you can say about it. Listen, Christ didn't call on us to be like Him except. He didn't call on us to be like Him almost. He says in this passage, He said He followed in His steps. What are His steps? He did no sin. Our goal should not be to be better than the other person, to be better than we were yesterday. Our goal every day that our feet hit the dirt is to be like Christ, to handle our life the way Christ would have handled it, to handle our choices, our decisions, exactly the way Christ would have handled it. Not almost, not close, not sort of, but to be like Christ. Peter does not say that we are to almost follow His example and to sort of follow in His footsteps. He says our decisions should, our goal should be to make the same decisions that Christ would make. But then he says something else that makes it even more difficult. Sorry, we shouldn't have gone around a little about that. Well, hang on, it gets worse. Because he goes on and says this. He says, who, when he was on the cross, when he was being crucified, when he was being beaten, when he was being spit on, when he was being laughed at, ridiculed, given vinegar when he was thirsty, having nails driven through his hands and feet, having his side pierced, having him gamble over his clothes, having him beaten beyond recognition, having put him on a cross that he didn't deserve, it says he suffered, but he threatened not, and he committed to himself to him that judgeth rightly. Here he says, I believe he's talking about the demeanor of Christ. You know what I say? You can do the right thing the wrong way. Let me give you an example. You ever had to tell two kids to apologize to each other? The right thing the wrong way. I'm sorry, it's your fault. Yeah. Show him, David. Tell him. Show him how you do it. Right. You do the right thing the wrong way. I believe this one lesson could transform Christianity, transform the church, transform most of us, transform our relationship with those around us if we would learn to do the right thing the right way. Somebody said something a while back that really kind of hit me. I've been in the Southern Baptist Church all my life. I don't know any other way. If you come ask me what any other group believes, I'm probably going to have to say I don't know, because I just don't know much about it. I know enough to be dangerous. I was born and carried to a Southern Baptist Church. I think if you cut me, I bleed Sunday school green. Y'all remember Sunday school green, what we used to paint everything, that hideous shade of green? I've just been around it all my life. And I tell you this, the reason I'm still Southern Baptist is because I believe with all my heart that Southern Baptists are the closest to biblically correct of any organization, any denomination out there. I'm not saying there's not some others that are as close. There's just nobody any closer to being biblically correct. I'm not talking about every church because we got some knuckleheads. I'm not talking about everybody in every church. I'm talking about what we say we believe, not necessarily what we practice and what we do, okay? But I heard somebody make this statement a while back, and it really kind of cut me. Because, to be honest with you, the more I thought about it, the more I realized they were telling the truth. They said the problem with Baptists is that people know more about what we are against than what we are for. Speaking about how, and I agree with our stance, speaking generally, I realize that every church, every Christian, every Baptist would have some different view, but I'm speaking generally speaking here. Typically, when you're talking about, we're talking about the Baptist stance on homosexuality and the Baptist stance on abortion. Those two issues have caused a lot of conflict and a lot of problem. Because typically, we come across as mad and angry and ready to fight rather than loving the person and hating the sin. We come across as hating them both. Peter shows us in this passage that Christ, while he was being crucified, while he was having his hands and feet nailed to a cross, while he was being beaten, while he was having a crown of thorns shoved into his head, while he was being ridiculed and spit on, that he never didn't act like Jesus. That he acted like his Father would want him to act in every circumstance. Now, here's what I know the response to that is, because I've used it. You just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know what I'm putting up with. You just don't know how I grew up. You just don't know how my boss treats me. You just don't know what my husband, what my wife is like behind closed doors. You just don't know how my life has been going. You just don't know how bad I hurt. You just don't know how sick I am. You know what? You are right. But I do know this. I may not know how bad you hurt. I may not know how sick you are. I may not know how sad you are. I may not know how bad things have been in your life. But this I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You're not going through anything close to what Jesus Christ went through. Amen. And he did. did not revile back. He didn't threaten. He simply said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus did some miraculous things during his ministry. He walked on water. He healed the sick, raised the dead, gave back the blind their sight, gave back the mute their speech, gave the crippled back their feet. But perhaps the greatest thing Christ ever did was hang on a cross that he didn't deserve and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Be like Christ in our attitude, our demeanor, how we... It's not just what we do, but how we do it. And then the third thing that Peter talks about here, following his steps, in his decisions, in his demeanor. But then look at this, last statement. He says, his deliverance. His deliverance. Who? His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to our sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. Now, I got to tell you the truth. As I studied this passage, and I thought that verse kind of... I had to work on that one a little bit in my own head. Because I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking to myself, well, it's in the same paragraph. If you go back and you look, it's in the... So it fits. Again, look at that. It says in verse 21, who gave us an example, we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, who when he was revived, his own self. And so this is one of the things that goes along with what Peter was saying when he said, follow in his steps. And I'm looking at that verse, and that verse says, bear sins on a tree. Live under the... I'm thinking, I can't be crucified. And if I am, it's not going to do any good for anybody else. So what in the world is Peter saying? Peter says, follow in his steps, live after his example, be crucified. And then it hit me. Isn't that the very picture of what a Christian is? Peter says, be like Jesus. Give yourself for others. Give yourself for others. Be like Christ, who his own self bore our sins. You can't bear anybody else's sins, but you can certainly share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can certainly be like Christ. We can give ourselves. Here's something that here's my observation. I got to be honest with you. As I look at this statement, and I thought about that. Here's what I'm... And I will say this, and if you've been around here, you know I've said this, and I am very... I'm trying to quit using the word very proud, because that's... You're not supposed to be proud, but I'm proud to be your pastor, because I've watched, and I've observed over 18 and almost a half years now. I've watched this church do this. I've stood here at this pulpit, and I've said, so-and-so needs help. Here's the offering plate. And watch the offering plate roll over. I sat in deacons' meetings and mentioned a need and saw the deacons handle it, not even take it to church, just reach into their billfold and pull out there and handle it. I've sat in deacons' meetings and watched a deacon having some emotional and being discouraged and depressed, and the deacon said, wait, we got to stop. We're going to stop this meeting. We're going to stop and we're going to pray. I've watched this church do that. I've watched you show up to build handicapped ramps. I've watched you show up. I remember several years ago when the ice storm came through and a bunch of men showed up to go around to one or two of our church members and our older church members and get the limbs and stuff out of their yard. And before long, they were walking up and down the street cleaning up total strangers' yards. Most of us don't have a problem with that. The problem is, it doesn't have... Have you noticed how it doesn't seem to have much of an effect? I'm just being honest with you this morning. You know, you go out and you go out to lost people, you go out to strangers and you mow their yard or you do things, and you wonder, why don't they seem to care? Here's the problem, I think. Most of us jump to that one. We go straight to trying to help people and do for people like Jesus, without ever remembering that we got to act like Jesus the rest of the time. It's not enough to go mow. It's not enough to give money. It's not enough to help somebody out of a ditch. It's not enough to be the good Samaritan and simply give them the medicine and the money they need. Peter tells us, here's the trick. We've got to learn to act like Jesus the rest of the time. We've got to learn to act like Jesus in our day-to-day affairs. Because here's truth, and you know it. Most people, in church, out of church, claim to be Christian or not Christian, would help their neighbor clean up their yard. Most people would help a hungry man. Most people would. You know that, wouldn't they? Do this. Most people would. Biggest atheist in town, whoever they are, would in all likelihood contribute to a needy family. Here's the difference. God's people should be living their life every day like Jesus. Christian tech support. What does that look like? Etch-a-Sketch says pick it up and shake it. What does Christian tech support sound like? I'm having trouble at home. Having trouble with my husband or my wife. I said that at the 8:30 service, and Larry Maurer said, pick her up and shake her. Wrong answer. If Larry's not back at church tonight, we know why. Having trouble with my spouse. I'm having trouble in my home. Be like Jesus. I'm having trouble at work. Having trouble with my employer. I'm having trouble with my employees. Things are getting really bad at work. What do I do? Be like Jesus. People are picking on me. I'm being criticized for my faith. I'm being ridiculed for being a Christian. Be like Jesus. It really is as simple as pick it up and shake it. Be like Jesus. Peter says here, follow His steps. He gave us an example. Follow His steps. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. The invitation is very simple. You need to come this morning and kneel at this altar and say, Jesus, Heavenly Father, in all that I do, help me to be like Jesus. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's with total strangers, in my decisions, in my demeanor, let me be like Jesus. So others will see Jesus and come to know Jesus. He's got every right to make that claim because He suffered and died for you. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior? First step on that road is to come and ask Jesus Christ in your heart. You come and I'll show you from God's Word how you can know Christ, how you can be saved. And start on that path, start on that road of being like Jesus. Christians, it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ, that believers, are like Jesus. We tried to be like other believers. We tried to be like other Christians. We tried to be better than other Christians. Tried to live up to be like either to be better than a Christian or to live up and be as good as another Christian. Well, those are good objectives, I guess. We're never told to do that. We're told to follow in His steps. God's speaking to your heart this morning. You need to come and kneel. Say, Lord, help me. I want to be like Jesus.